Amen. I don't know if you feel the presence of a living and holy God today, but he's in the house. Amen. And we come to praise his holy name. Amen. And we begin to share the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning. As we begin to understand who the Lord and our Savior is, we begin to know that he has perfectly positioned us today for the hearing of the word of God. Can you say amen? Amen. God has brought you to this place at this time for his purpose. And when we begin to allow ourselves to get out of the way, all of a sudden what happens is God will show up and he'll begin to show out. It's exciting what God's been doing. I got a series I shared with you. I got about a 25-part series, and I've been chopping it up and trying to figure out how to preach it. But, you know, we talked about over the last 2 weeks crossing the Jordan River. We talked about the Israelites. We begin to talk about how what happens is that so often we get distracted. We go to the wilderness. We get flipped around. The script gets messed up. We get hijacked, breached, broke, busted, and disgusted. We know that we're to do good. We know that God's called us, ordained us, and sent us a certain way. But all of a sudden what happens is the enemy sneaks up. Everybody says sneaks up. He comes in like a little thief, a Beelzebub. He comes in like a slithering snake that he is, and he begins to sneak up in your ministry. He begins to sneak up in your relationships. He begins to do everything he can, and all of a sudden what happens as we begin to cross the Jordan River, we begin to face an obstacle that we didn't even know was there. Then all of a sudden the obstacle is so big, it's so honking big that we try to figure out how did it get there. Sound familiar? Everybody says amen. Amen. Been there, done that, and we got a bunch of t-shirts. Amen. So all of a sudden, we begin to talk about crossing that Jordan River, and we likened the Jordan River, and we likened it to an obstacle of our faith. As we begin to look at that for the Israelites and to know that they was to cross to the promised land, we ended with this last week, and we begin to talk about this. You remember that God backed up. Now listen, everybody say, God backed it up. I'm telling you, everything that I'm going to tell you, God will back it up with his word today. And if not, look for yourself. Amen? 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 Amen. But listen, this is what happened. We begin to talk about when the Jordan River needed to be dried up, and all of a sudden God got involved. See, if God's before you, it was the message, who in this world can be against you? It doesn't matter what your family says. The naysayers are always going to be there. They're going to always cast you back to your past. They're going to judge you from where you came from. But it doesn't matter because you've got a loving, caring, kind God that doesn't keep a closet. When he forgives you, you're forgiven. Hallelujah. Now, the people that loves you and that's the closest to you, that knows you the best, all of a sudden what happens is they begin to think, well, you just can't be, it just can't be this true, Lorenzo, that you really love God. I know that you're going to mess up. I know that God can't be that good, because all of a sudden the Jordan sneak up inside of my life. All of a sudden the Jordan, the obstacle to my faith, begins to wither, and it begins to steal my faith. Amen? Well, I don't know about you, but I got a word. I'm excited. But all of a sudden what happens, the Israelites needed to cross, and all of a sudden the obstacle got so big. It got so huge they didn't know what to do with it. But I just want to remind you at the end of that sermon last week, I shared this with you. God not only dried up, he dried up the Jordan. He dried it up from being 1 mile wide. He backed it up to the city of Adam, 20 miles north, and he also took it 20 miles south to the Dead Sea. In that representation of 40 or so miles, what you begin to look like is sin entered the world in Adam, amen, and it went all the way to the Dead Sea as a representation of Satan, and it doesn't matter what the enemy says, God's got you covered. God's got you covered, and you can place your feet upon a solid rock. He'll take you across dry land, and it doesn't matter what the enemy has to say. God says, I got you covered from the beginning to the end. Amen? Okay, everybody remembers all that, right? Hallelujah. Now I get to preach. They crossed the Jordan River. They began conquering the promised land. They was moving in the direction they was told to. The Israelites began to conquer Canaan. They begin to conquer Canaan. Now, all of a sudden, Jericho is the first one to fall. Joshua had just met with the commander of the Lord's army. Okay, and this is the end of verse 5, or chapter 5. He had just met with the commander of the Lord's army. He just met with an angel, and some people say it's God that came down to talk to him. But you can debate that ever how you want, but let's put it this way. He met with a mighty power, amen? He met with a mighty power, and all of a sudden, what we begin to look at leading into chapter 6, where I'll be at today, and if you want to turn your Bibles, I'll be in Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 21, and I want to focus on verses 1 through 7 today, the 6th chapter of Joshua. But as we begin to understand what's going on. The Lord sent his commander. Everybody say, your commander. And all of a sudden, what he began to tell him is this: look, you got to pay attention, because where you're at, where you're about to enter into, see, you just crossed the Jordan. You just are about ready to conquer Jericho. You're going to the promised land. You're about to place your feet on something. It's called deliverance. It's called sanctification. It's called being set free. It's called what God calls it. But all of a sudden, God sends the commander, what for? To tell him, take off your sandals. Take off your sandals, because you're about to step up on some holy ground. See, all of a sudden you begin to wonder why all of a sudden we make bad decisions. We chase the heart. The heart is deceitful. It's beyond cure. Who can understand it? But it is also the wellspring of life, where good things come from. So the enemy begins to look at the heart. He begins to hijack the heart. He begins to lie to the heart. He begins to say, I'm everything that you wanted, until he lures you out. And I'll use scripture again when he tempted Jesus today. I'm going to come back to that. But all of a sudden, I'm telling you, man don't live by bread alone. Amen? But all of a sudden, listen to me now. I want to talk about the Word. If you'll stand for the reading of the Word, I want to tell you, as we begin to read Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through, 6 or 7. I'll stop somewhere in there. But I want you to hear what I'm telling you here. Why, before we enter into this point of the Scripture, did God see fit to send that commander of the Lord's army there to take off your sandals, for your place and your standing is holy? Because it's talking about a respect for God is just as important today as it was then, and it's a reverence for the holiness of God. All right, so get it in your spirit today. It was, this is some Old Testament Scripture, but there's a promise for us today. Everybody say, I want the promise. And beginning in chapter 6 and verse number 1, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, listen to this part. I'm going to preach this message right here today. See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. See? I have delivered your enemy, your obstacle to your faith. I've delivered it into your hands. And you know, and we won't touch it this week, but you know what happened later, right? Rebellion set in. Listen. See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its kings and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of rams, horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. And in verse 5, it says, when you hear them sound a long blast of trumpets, it says, have the whole army give a loud shout. Have the whole army. I want to talk to you a little bit about praise and worship. Praise is what we ought to do, but worship is what we ought to do no matter what the enemy has to say, no matter what he's doing to you, and no matter what the obstacle is. When you begin to praise and worship a living God, when you begin to take your shoes off because you're on holy ground, when you begin to do God's word, it doesn't matter where the enemy's trying to take you. No weapon formed against you can nor shall it prosper. Hallelujah. When you hear them sound a long blast, blast of the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout, then the walls of the city will collapse, and the army will go, and everyone will go straight in. And then so Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and have the 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the army to advance. So today, advance. Advance past your trials. Advance past anything that's in your way. Advance past what's trying to drag you down. Advance past your family. Advance past the people who wants to drop anchor on you. Advance against the people that the enemy's placed in front of you, that they look good and they are good for a season, but advance. Everybody say advance. Heavenly Father, we just pray over this word today and this message, Father, that you will let us receive the message. God, we bind the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, you say what's bound on earth is bound in heaven. And today we take authority over the enemy. And God, with your word, God, let it go forth and preach the gospel. God, let ears hear and eyes be open, Father, for your word to go forth. God, allow this seed to be sown into fertile land, Father God. We receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, when we begin to look at the scripture, there's a lot of scripture here. I got a lot of territory to cover, so I'll try to do it as quickly as I can. All right, but listen. I want to end with a couple of things. When God says it, it's done. Okay? I understand. I'm not trying to push down that you're going through trials. Those trials are trials, amen? But I want to qualify today, if we'll just walk through the trials, you might be wondering, why did God position these messages months ago for this church? This church is going through a trial. Okay, all kinds of trials. Praise the Lord. We're not to grow weak or wishy-washy in trials, but we're to stand up. We're to speak to that Jordan River. We're to speak to that obstacle. We're to tell, get on away from me. You ain't got no place, because holier is he that is in me. I'm taking my sandals off because I want to walk on holy ground. Amen. But all of a sudden, we begin to look at this scripture, and we begin to unpack it. And we got to begin to claim our Canaan, amen? God wants to give us something. So the intro here that I want to share with you this morning, Israel has finally crossed the Jordan River. And we know about the great struggle it was. You remember the obstacles to your faith that we called out over the last 2 weeks? And all of a sudden, some of you got saved, some of you got healed, some of you got delivered, some of you got set free, some of you got real, some of you did some stuff that God called you to do, and some of you held onto the chair and didn't let it happen. Yeah, today you can let go of the chair. Amen. Because they have prepared themselves spiritually, and they have thus far followed God's orders to the letter. Now they are ready to begin the conquest to the promised land. They are ready to claim that for themselves the land that flowed with milk and honey. Is anybody ready to have some land that flows with milk and honey? However, like most things in life that are worth having, it wouldn't come cheap. For Israel, Jericho would be a benchmark. It was Jericho that they would flex their muscles and experience military victory and great conquest. Now, just for a moment, try to put yourself into the shoes of the average Israelite soldier here. For most of these men, Jericho was the first city that they had ever seen that was surrounded by huge walls or huge obstacles. So what happens is, when we face our first huge obstacle, I'm going to qualify this, sometimes it'll take us so far off that we never come back. Amen? I talked to a brother yesterday, and I don't see him in the crowd today, but he walked up an alley last night, and he talked to him. I said, praise God, you sent me something today, Lord, for my sermon, amen? But he come and talked about, there's this great big wall in front of me now. Amen? Everybody said, I know what you're talking about. And all of a sudden, that wall snuck in, and he said, all of a sudden, man, she left me, that left me, and I did, and man, here I am. I said, you know what? Come on, man, we'll run the race with you. But it must have looked like, to this gentleman, but also to the Israelites, it must have looked like an absolute impossibility to many. However, they listened to the instructions. Everybody say, I'm here to listen today. See, they listened to the instructions of the Lord, and they saw those massive walls fall down flat. That, you know, and that's what we're going to talk about, how God can flatten the walls in your life. Amen? Not only can it dry up the muck and the mire that you created so you can cross on dry ground, he can take those walls and he can make them flat. He can take the mountains and he can flip them upside down. He can take your dark and he can turn it into light. He can take the distractor and he can show you that he's a deceiver. He can take the light and show you that he is the promise. He can take your call and he can begin to allow you to answer the call. He can take what he's prepared for you and begin to do what he says he'll do. This morning, I'll tell you, when you begin to look at this, many of you that's in this service may question the fact that I'm preaching again out of this old book, amen, out of this old Testament, and those battles and those wars was long ago, but I want you to know they're relevant for us again today. Joshua is very relevant to today's Christians. Already, God is starting to stir your spirit about you today. Amen? We're living the days of battle. Spiritual struggle, spiritual warfare. We're living in these days, and this church is no exception. I shared with some leaders yesterday, actually. I said, man, we're in the war of our life at my church. I said, I'm telling you, for 5 or 6 years, I said, we fought some fights. I said, but the devil's coming at individuals. He's coming at ministries. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Who are we to think he's not going to come? Amen. Who do we think we are? Amen. Listen, we're supposed to undergo. If we're going to truly stand out here and see people come out of incarceration and serve God, if we're going to see people walk up out of the nursing homes delivered, sanctified, and set free, giving their life to Christ, if we're really, truly going to see the least of these become the greatest of these, if we're going to see people do what God has called them and let them know that God made no mistakes and no junk, I'm telling you, the enemy's going to come against it. Amen. Everybody say, I'm ready. We are living in days of that battle. We need to know how to fight Amen. We need to know how to fight. All right, we need to know that our God is able to give us victory no matter what the circumstances look like. We need to know how to follow him to the victory. And Joshua, in this Old Testament book, teaches us those very valuable lessons. Just as Israel faced the formidable walls of Jericho, you and I face the walls and obstacles of our faith as well, day after day. The need to know how to overcome them and march towards the victory is where we're going to march towards today. Everybody say, I'm ready to march. This passage holds the answer for us this morning. Let's watch Israel conquer Jericho as we know they do. And as we do, let us take a look at what the Lord teaches us. The title of the scripture or of the sermon today is how to make our walls fall down flat. Amen? So we don't want no molehills. Okay? We want to make our walls fall down flat. Amen? Everybody with me now? All right, now we're going to get into the sermon. Now we're going to get into meat. See, we had some taters, now it's time for the meat. Everybody say, I'm ready for some meat. Okay, we're going to start off, we're going to focus on some of this scripture, and we'll begin to, listen, God's getting ready to move. He's going to move today, amen. He's already moving. He moved in my office. He moved down here this morning. He moved up here in praise and worship. He moved in Sunday school, and he's going to move in church today, amen. I'm praying that God's getting ready to stir something up inside of you today. I'm praying that God's done dried up the Jordan. You done come to the walls of Jericho, and there they are, and you're going to step over those walls of Jericho. Amen? Amen. We're going forth. But listen, the first thing I want to share with you, Israel had a problem. Ain't none of you have got no problems, so we ain't going to pick you up here just yet, all right? Amen. Verse 1 says, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out, and no one came in. Jericho is known as the oldest city in the world. In Joshua's day, it was surrounded by a system. Everybody say system. Listen, the enemy's got a system that he's flipping on you today, man. It's the same old thing all the way back to Jericho. There's things that the enemy's tried to do, going to do, and will continue to do, but it ain't new. Amen. Remember, all the way back up 20 miles to the city of Adam, and take it all the way to the other end, and it dumps off in the Dead Sea, where it's salt, only worthless, and to be walked upon. God's drying up some ground today. Jericho is known as the oldest city. Listen, what happened, it was surrounded by this massive system, and let me explain it to you. The outer wall, I want you to get a visual here. The outer wall was 6 foot thick. All right, we got anybody here 6 foot? Huh? All right, it was 4 inches shorter than Lorenzo. All right, so, thicker. So the outer wall was 6 foot thick, and it was 20 feet high. Now, 20 feet's a long ways up, okay? So it was wide, and it was. If that wasn't enough, listen, the inner wall, that's the outside wall, there's another wall. That wall was 12 foot thick, and it was 30 feet high. Okay, so all of a sudden, you get an obstacle, and it's big, amen? But all of a sudden, you finally get over that, bam, you hit the next wall. Thank you, Lord. I've crossed the Jordan River only to come to the walls of Jericho. All right, for what? Well, we're going to share that with you, to be delivered. But even between the walls was a guarded walkway. In between that 6 by 20 and 12 by 30 walls was a guarded walkway filled with soldiers that was 15 foot wide. So not only did you conquer the first big wall, amen, and you go to the next one, you go down, you got to fight and you got to go back up. See the analogy? You go from battle to battle to battle to battle victoriously, amen? Well, Israel's problem wasn't that they had a city to conquer, but there were some extremely huge walls in the way. They had some honking big obstacles that's in their way. Listen, you got obstacles today too, amen? Now, we've been checking these obstacles out and trying to get rid of them, but I want you to know when you climb the 6 foot by 12 foot wall, or 20 foot wall, you're going to go down through the next valley, which is 15 foot wide, amen, just to be met with the next obstacle, which the next obstacle is 12 foot by 30 foot, only a bigger obstacle. So we got to back up and we got to begin to cross that Jordan River like we're supposed to, amen, knowing that God's got us covered from Adam all the way to the Dead Sea. God has got us covered, amen. Okay, we got this now. As we go through life, we have obstacles. Everybody say, I got obstacles. Now, we will face them, but listen, let me tell you who's got the biggest obstacle. You ready? The one who thinks they ain't got one. I've matured. I'm past that. I've got it all figured out. The people that needs the most help is the people who thinks they need it the least. Amen? All right, let me keep going. Some of you might get mad at me there. I feel led to share. That's not even in my sermon. Amen. Hallelujah. As we go through life with these obstacles, perhaps it's things like we've lost a loved one and all of a sudden stuff begins to set in. Our loved one has been incarcerated and we don't think it's fair. We've lost a community and we are burdened to bring it back. And as we begin to try to bring it back, all of a sudden we've seen this, Creed and I have seen this, God has sent us worker after worker only to be distracted, only to be lured away, only to be destroyed. But God didn't send you anywhere. He sent you right here. Everybody say, uh-oh. So this is personal. And I want you to take it personal. Amen. If we are not winning, if we're not coaching, if we're not leading people to the cross, we're leading them to hell. All right. Some more popular looks. A ministry from the Lord that we feel that we're inadequate to do, all of a sudden God will bring you low so he can bring you high. We have family troubles, financial troubles, sin that constantly crops up in our life that we have to address day after day, wall to wall, river to river, that keeps coming. The enemy always trying to drive a wedge in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And God says, grow where I've planted you. I got quiet again. All right. I know this ain't never popular, but that's all right. Amen. I ain't trying to preach popularity. Amen. I'm trying to preach the truth. Third point here, Israel had a problem. We must learn not to look upon our obstacles as dead ends. See, a lot of times, you know what I'm talking about. I'm guilty, amen. I look at it and I say, man, hit a wall. I'm done now. I might as well just forget and throw in the towel. I quit. Maybe none of you have ever done that. But all of a sudden, we look at the obstacles and we look at them as a dead end, but we need to look at them as opportunities for the Lord to work in our lives. See, if he takes you to an obstacle, he wants to work on you because what he's trying to do, he's trying to grow your ministry, and every one of us have a ministry. He's trying to allow you to go to the obstacle. Don't succumb to the obstacle, but step on the obstacle. See, but often what we want to do, and I can't find it in the Word, lay down in it, waller in it, go backwards, make bad decisions. That is not in God's Word. He's commanded us to have power. He said, I've endued you with power to make good decisions. Amen? Well, the great Apostle Paul has such an obstacle in his life as well. You know where I'm going, right? You know, Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. I want to remove our excuses. Amen? Because I, for one, can always come up with an excuse why I should do what I want, when I want, how I want, and when I want to do it. Amen? But when God is leading you, when God is guiding you, when God is taking you where he needs to be, just like the Apostle Paul, amen? All of a sudden, God begins to speak to us in 2 Corinthians in the 12th chapter, verses 7 through 10. Let me read it. It says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming, say it again. Let's read it again, because I want everybody to get this. Now look, being conceited takes on all kinds of forms, amen? Frankly, we all will struggle with being conceited in some form or another. Therefore, in order to keep from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan. Here's the word to torment me. So I want to ask you today, what is your thorn in your flesh? Think about it. What decision is your thorn in your flesh? What person is your thorn in your flesh? What is wrong that we need to pull the thorn out today? Three times it says, I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. And verse 9 says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. I shared this with a sister yesterday, and I said, God sent me here to this neighborhood, and I was mad. I said, God, I don't want to be there. I want a mega church. God, I've worked hard. He said, you can't even handle a little one. Take what I give you. Amen? Well, that's pretty sobering when you hear that. But then all of a sudden you begin to see how God impacts you. And then your family and your friends, I said, oh, God, thank God you seem fit to use me here because it's big. Hey, man, it's big, right? God wants to use you. God's about you. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power. Everybody say the word power. Power. See, we begin to talk about this power. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. And then in verse 10, it says, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness. Before when I'm weak, he's strong, amen? I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For I am weak, he is strong. We got to come to the place when we begin to understand. It says, I delight in weakness, in insult. Now listen, I'm reading scripture this morning, amen? I'm reading you scripture this morning. So all of a sudden, when we begin to have these things going on in our life, instead of withering up, instead of going inside of our cocoon, instead of putting our ostrich head inside the sand, how about begin to stand up and know that God's endued you with power to face any old thing the enemy's got, and as stronger as he that is in you. And all of a sudden, what God does is he begins to use you. It says, the word, it says, I delight in my weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties, for when I am weak, he is strong. Amen? Well, that's pretty good. Now, everybody said, get me out of the way. We got to get us up out of the way. That's what it's about. See, the attitude is foreign to us this morning. That attitude's foreign. Well, Paul had to go through it. I got to go through that. Maybe none of y'all got no flesh or obstacles. Yeah, we must come to realize that the power of God is best revealed. Everybody say it's revealed. It is best revealed in and through us when we are unable to handle life on our own. See, all of a sudden we think if we're doing good, we got it all under control. Amen. Amen. I'm gonna keep going. Y'all sleeping on me. All right, sounds good when you scream. Somebody wants to scream, you're allowed to. All right, sounds good on the tapes, okay? But listen, when we're unable to handle life, God shows up and shows out, and that's who does it. That's who does the handling, amen. God is more clearly visible when we are totally out of the picture and out of the way. In a sense, that is what he did with Israel right here. As we see him, he completely removed them from the question. He got rid of them from the equation. He got rid of them. He said, get out of the way. You ain't going to do it. You ain't going to cross it. I'll dry it up. I'll take you to the wall. I'll do it. I'll help you. I'll bring the walls down. I just need you to start praising me. Amen. Oh, man, it's exciting. See, the victory in Jericho, it was all God. When you get victory in your Jericho, it is all God. Amen. It ain't got nothing to do with you. It ain't got nothing to do with what you think you can do. It's got everything to do with God. I said, I'm going to step up in your mess that you created. I want to step up in your bad decision. I'm going to step up in your addiction. I'm going to step up in your arrogance and your conceitedness. I'm going to step up in it, and I'm going to begin to speak to it. I'm going to sometimes bring you low to bring you high. All of a sudden, God shows up in your mess, and he begins to do what he wants to do, but I want you to clearly understand the victory at Jericho was all God. Amen? All right, let's go to the second point. Israel had a promise, and Israel had a promise, and the promise is given right here in verse number 2. Listen, it says, then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I'm promising you something here. This is good. See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with his kings and his fighting men. Wow, they were sitting ducks. You had to go at the obstacle knowing that the devil's telling you, I'm going to defeat you. I'm going to kill you. You go ahead and do what you want to do. I got you. But he ain't got nothing. Everybody say he ain't got it. Listen. Israel had this promise, and as Joshua and all the men that was at war stood looking at those walls, they stood looking at those obstacles around that great city, God had a word of comfort for their hearts. I'm going to qualify that when you're in the struggle of your life, if you'll begin to praise the living God, if you'll begin to turn from your ways to his ways, if you'll begin to just be quiet and be still so you can begin to hear God speak to you in such a quiet, still way, all of a sudden God, your comforter, will show up on the scene and he'll begin to remove obstacles out of your way. Here, God promises Israel the victory. He already said, I got it. I already did it. He said, you go do what I told you to do. He said, I got you covered. Amen? God promises them the victory when they attack Jericho. He lets them know about the conclusion before they ever enter the battle. Listen, God has done told us the conclusion before we undergo any battle for him. Amen? You hear me this morning? Maybe I'm a little too excited. I'll calm down. Let me bring it in a little bit. But let me tell you something. I don't know what battle you're going through today, but I know that we go through battles as Christians, and this pastor goes through battles almost daily. But I know my God's already handled before I ever walked to it. So what I got to begin to do is not worry about what my family says. I don't got to worry about what my church says. I don't got to worry about what my job says. I don't got to worry about what my finances says. When I begin to walk in the miraculous healing, set free, delivered by the power of a living God, all of a sudden what God does is he begins to flip those mountains upside down for me. And he begins to make my crooked path straight. He begins to make my broad gate narrow. And all of a sudden, I begin to understand what he's talking about. God, you're talking to me. And you already got the conclusion. Let me begin to call on your name. Listen, as we second part of this is that Israel had a promise is this. As we face our obstacles, can you just admit you got an obstacle? Can you just admit it? We got obstacles. See, we might want to dress up, come in here and sing some holy praise, bring our Bibles all marked up looking good, feel all holy, dress all holy, look all holy. But when we walk out here, we're getting the hell beat out of us by the enemy. And when I say hell, it's a living hell that we're walking through. Amen. It's a hell that the enemy brings to fight against us in our spiritual life. See, what we fail to do is recognize that hell before we get in it. But all of a sudden, we end up in that hell. And we wonder, how did we get there? And most of all, how in the world am I getting out of that? That's not our intentions. We want nothing to do with hell. But so often, I know, speaking of hell isn't a real popular thing in church today, but it's real. Amen? But let me share this with you. As we face our obstacles, whatever they may be, we can do so with confidence because we have the Lord's promise as banners and orders to march under. Listen, I got something I shared with you here that I want to share with you. I got scriptures to qualify this, but I'm not going to use them. As we have obstacles, we have promises as well. Those obstacles will turn us around. They'll hurt us. They'll cause division. They'll do everything that the enemy has set out for them to do. And then all of a sudden, we turn towards Christ as we face these obstacles. We have the Lord's promises as this. We have his promise that our weapons are powerful through God. We have his promises that our battles have all been arranged by the Lord. We have his promises that our ability is limited only by our faith. We have his promise of power in the day of battle. We have his promises of ongoing victory. We have his promises that we will never fight alone. We have his promises that when the battles are ended, we will celebrate the victory of his presence. We have his promises that he's in them with us all the way from the beginning, when it got dried up to the city of Adam, all the way to the Dead Sea. We have his promises. We have his promises that we can stand on, and nothing that the enemy says, he ain't got nothing. Amen? Listen, Israel had a promise. Third point of the promise, as we face the walled cities in our lives. As we begin to turn and know that we have obstacles, we need to learn to believe the Lord, to take him at his word and trust him for our victories as we walk through the valley. It says, though I walk through the valley, amen? As I walk through the valley, no matter what I got to go through, Lord, stronger is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God, I know I've been hijacked. God, I've been battling 50 years, 30 years, 20 years, but God, I come to take authority over me today. And we can take authority. The enemy has nothing. He's a liar and he's a thief. See, God's dealing with some of us right now. Jesus did not save you for you to live defeated. Jesus did not. Everybody say, did not. He did not save you to be defeated. Amen? He saved you for the victory, and he will be there all the way until you get to the victory. Will there be trials? Of course there are going to be trials, but there will also be victory. Everybody say victory. We have victory in Jesus. Amen. Listen, Israel had a problem. They also had a promise. And I want you to know, not only do they have a problem and a promise, just like us, we got a partner. Amen. We got a partner. In verses 3 through 5, as we begin to look at this, check this out, this partner that we're talking about now. We know that there's things going on, and we're going to get victory no matter what. But we can't do it without our partner. Amen? Amen? Let me recap verses 3 through 5 for you. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. We know about that holy number of 7, don't we? Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark on the 7th day. March around the city 7 times, and with the priests blowing the trumpets, when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout, and then the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will go up, and everyone straight in. Don't even have to stumble over the wall that's so massive. You don't have to stumble over the obstacle no more. You don't have to cross on muddy ground no more. You don't got to be in the muck and mire. All of a sudden, when you begin to shout out to the Lord when you can't, He can. All of a sudden, when you know that you know that you know that God's before you and nothing in this world can come against you, things begin to happen. Israel's partner was none other than God Himself. Israel's partner was none other than God Himself. And today, your partner is not your spouse, okay? It is not your grandkids. It is not your children. Your partner in this battle is God Himself. Amen? Your partner in this war today is God Himself. He was in absolute control of the battle. He was leading them through the battle. He guaranteed them victory, and He's leading you through your absolute battle today. And it doesn't matter how much the enemy tries to mess with your mind, you begin to take authority over Him when your partner shows up by the name of God, your Lord Jesus Christ, and you begin to speak to that old thing that's been an obstacle for so long, and you begin to kick it up out of your life. Amen? Well, listen, second point of this is that as we look at the partner, as we face our walled cities and the obstacles of our life, it is a blessing to know that we do not have to face them alone or in our own strength. So what we like to do, I got this, God, and if I need you, I'll call on you. Amen? That's something we're fallible at, is that we think we got it all figured out. And then the enemy attacks, you say, what? Why would he attack me? I'm going to church. I read my Bible. Why in the world wouldn't he attack you? You are his adversary. You come against him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why in the world would he lock you up in jail when you just start studying the Word of God? Why in the world would he lure you away and draw you out and sabotage you and kill you? And it takes you years to get out there. Have you all been there where he drew you out? Oh, yeah, go ahead, raise your hand. Have you been on the right course? Raise your hand. You've been on the right course. And he distracted. Well, that's right. Every one of us, right? That's his scheme. And it hasn't changed since the beginning of time. When he was cast from heaven, all of a sudden, when he's cast down, we begin to understand he has a job to do. And whether we do ours or not, he's going to do his job. And in this world today, he's doing it real well. Amen. He is. Listen, he's tearing the churches up today. Because we want to water down the word. We don't want to preach truth. We don't want to be in a place where we tell truth. We're okay with lukewarmness, amen. Hey, as long as I wave my banner on Sunday, I'm cool. No, you ain't. The Bible talks very clearly in Revelations about our lukewarmness. Listen, all of a sudden we begin to look. As we begin to face the walled cities and the obstacles, we can't do it on our own. And the third point of this is our no obstacle is insurmountable as long as we face it with the Lord. And see, you ain't got no God that's a coward. You ain't got no God that's a sissy. You ain't got no God that's all the junk that the world wants to say is. You got a God that's mighty, amen. You got the God, the Lord Almighty. You got the great I Am, amen. You ain't got no hijacked Buddha. You ain't got no Hare Krishna. You ain't got no Muslim faith. What you got is a God that'll pull down strongholds. And he loved you so much that he deposited the Holy Spirit up inside of you, part of that triune God, to say you can stand against that enemy and you can speak to that darkness in the name of Jesus Christ, and it's removed as far as the east is to the west. And it doesn't matter what drug addiction says. It don't matter what finances says. It doesn't matter what your relationship and your spouse says. What it matters is what God says. He alone is God Almighty. He is your partner. He is your partner in crime. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, no obstacle is instrumental. Listen, but all of a sudden, a moment ago, I spoke about the power. Everybody say power. Yeah. Y'all liking this all right? Yeah. Oh, I love the word. Listen, he talks about the power of God's promises. Now listen, put it together, the power of God's promises. Whatever God told you, it's going to happen. It don't matter what the enemy's done. He ain't got nothing. Okay, he might be causing a little distraction, but you're about to squash that little fly today, man. It doesn't matter what the enemy's done. You said, but you don't understand, Pastor. I've been battling this my whole life. Good. Come up here and put your foot on the fly today, man, because that's all that little rotten, no good for nothing. I'm telling you, he ain't no good. And stronger, the power that's inside of you is about to claim victory today. Can you say victory? Victory. For a moment, let's talk about the weapons we have. We've been given to fight these battles. Amen? Okay, let me qualify this. I'm already out of time. Can I go on? All right. Thank you. Listen, the weapons we've been given. The first one, Who is the infallible Word of God? Amen. The Word of God, all of a sudden we begin to look at this. You and I have been blessed by the Lord in that He has given us a perfect, inspired, infallible, inerrant record of His Word. The Word of God is called, listen to this, the Greek for word, the word is logos. Amen. Listen, when Paul was listing the armor that is to be worn by the saints, and we got saints of God in this joint, right? We got saints of God up in this church, amen. We're going to walk out and kick the devil in the teeth, and we're going to expect a war. We're going to expect some rivers, going to expect some walls, but we're going to go ahead because stronger is He that is in us. We believe it, and you go ahead and talk about how powerful we are. Yes, we are, because stronger is He that is in us than he that's in this world. We're going to go to the jails, to the nursing home, to the prisons. We're going to go out and beat the street. We're going to go out and tell the devil, we're here to fight you because we got the Word of God. Amen? All right, listen to this. All of a sudden, I got to read this again. This is good. When Paul was listing the armor, all of a sudden he began to talk about this offensive weapon. All of a sudden we began to look at this offensive weapon in Ephesians 6:17. You know what it is. Talking about the armor of God. He talks about this offensive weapon that we have, and that is the Word of God. In Ephesians 6:17, he says, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Oh, can you hear it? Can you hear it? Can you hear it? You know what it's like when that sword is sleeved and it's in your side. All of a sudden, it comes out. It means war is on, amen? I want you to start thinking about that. Go find you some swords coming out of a sleeve. I want you to begin to hear that message because all of a sudden when it comes out, it's the Word of God. All of a sudden when you put it in, it comes out, amen? All of a sudden when you begin to study and walk in it, all of a sudden you become the Word of God, amen? All of a sudden when you begin to do whatever you got to do to fall in love with Christ and get closer to Him, watch out. Everybody say, watch out. The sword of the Spirit. It says this, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is interesting to note that when Paul mentions the Word of God as a weapon of spiritual warfare, he does not use the word, the Greek word logos, which is word. Whew. Listen to this. He instead uses the Greek word rhema. Rhema literally means an utterance individually, collectively, or specifically. See, all of a sudden, God knows when you put on the full armor of God, when that sword comes up out of that sleeve, when it comes out of there, it's time to go to battle. You'll do it with the Word of God, and He is your partner, amen? Listen, all of a sudden, this word means a particular word. Everybody say particular. It's a particular word of God. If we continue to think of the Bible as an armory filled with swords of all descriptions, so all of a sudden you got swords all over you, and all of a sudden you begin to understand the Word of God has come into life, then rhema would be a particular sword for a particular battle. This truth illustrated, and was illustrated by our Lord Jesus Christ. On the Mount of Temptation, when the devil tempted Jesus to turn the stones into bread, Jesus responded. Can you hear it? He pulls the sword out. He said, oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? You going to tempt me? See, he knew you was going to be tempted. He pulled his sword out, the Word of God. It was a rhema word. It was a specific word for what was standing in front of him. And it still was the Logos word. It was still the infallible Word of God. Everybody still with me? The truth is illustrated when this happens. Jesus responded by saying, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Here Jesus also used that word rhema. Each time the devil attacked our Lord, Jesus walked into the armory. You hear me? He walked in there, pulled it out. And all of a sudden, the Word of God, and he chose just the right sword at each attack that he come against, every Jordan River that was thrown in front of him, every wall of Jericho that was there, and when he would climb down the trench and start the next wall, you could hear him pulling it out again and again and again, and he began to lop the head of the enemy off, and every time the enemy stood up, you could hear it come out again, and he began to fight the good fight. I'm telling you, today he's partnered with you, and he's willing for you to stand up and pull it out of the sleeve and begin to slew the head of the giant that stands in front of you. Remember last week when we talked about David. David said that Goliath was a huge man, and the word says he's over 10 foot tall, but when he lopped his head off, it said he's now 9 foot long. Amen. No matter how big the obstacle seems, it seems your God is bigger than the obstacle that stands in front of you today. The same principle will work for you and me today. God has a word for you this morning. Amen. God knows what you need. He knows that you know that you know that you need it. However, if you don't know your way around the armor, and you don't know what knife to grab, the sword to grab a hold of, what sheath to jerk it up out of, then you will not be able to select the right sword. So he gives us the second one. The second one. Listen here. We looked at the first one here, and we began to understand the Word of God. The weapons we have been given is the Word of God, and second, and we fall short, is prayer. See, we begin to pray about that old devil messing with you. And man, he's messing with you. Well, you got a pastor that prays for you. Some of you don't even know your name. I see your face, and God put you on. I begin to pray for you. I pray for you as much as I pray for my kids and my grandkids. But all of a sudden, we begin to look at this. Listen. Prayer. Far too often we ignore the great power. Everybody say power.
Power.
Power that has been given to us in prayer. Prayer is far more than me just taking my little laundry list or my grocery list to the Lord and say, God bless me, God help me, I, me, I want, I need, I need. Prayer has the ability to get some things done. You see, we have been given some pretty awesome promises in God's word in the areas of prayer. God has promised that he will hear our prayers. God has promised that he will answer our prayers. God has promised that he will help us pray. So if he hears us, he answers us, and he helps us, all we've got to begin to do is to tell him, amen. Essentially, all true prayer begins and ends with God. It begins to have the communication. He's already telling you when you're going to pick up the phone and listen. Amen? That's popular, wasn't it? He's already telling you, he's already talking, he's already showing, and all you got to do is, okay, God, I'm going to listen. Get it off mute and begin to hear. Put it on speakerphone, amen? Israel had a problem. They had a promise. They had a partner. And lastly, they prevailed. Amen? And you'll prevail today as well. No matter what the enemy's tried to do, no matter what that Jericho wall looks like in your life, no matter what the obstacle is, I'm going to share with you verses 6 through 21 without reading, but read those later today. Chapter 6, verses 6 through 21. I want to talk to you about the content here. Israel marched around the city in obedience. Everybody say obedience. You got to march to what God has told you to march to. You got to do what he's told you to do. Don't quit before your blessing. Your blessing, to what he really wants you to have, is right on the other side of the corner. Listen to our Libra program for men and for women through jail and prison and nursing home ministries and everything I've done over the years. The people that I brought up in leadership, they always quit. They always turn around. They always fall right before the breakthrough comes, right before the promise happens. But listen, you're standing on a corner and you don't know what's on the side, other side. But whatever he said is going to happen. God's about to bless you with stuff that you can't contain because of your faithfulness. Are you ready for that, ain't you? The context is they marched around in obedience to the Lord, and they prevailed. This is some absurdity in this command. Can you imagine? Listen, I want to read this to you. Can you imagine how the people of Jericho must have reacted? So they're inside this fortified city, ready to go to war, and they saw the armies of Israel approaching their city, and they probably thought that they were about to be invaded by the enemy. However, instead of attacking, the soldiers and the priests merely marched around the city one time. You go ahead and start circling your enemy this morning, amen? All that was heard was the sound of the ram's horn trumpets and the pounding of the soldiers' feet upon the earth. This was repeated for 6 days. By this time, the people of Jericho were no doubt mocking and jeering the Israelites, and that's exactly what the enemy's doing to you right now. You've drawn the horse and buggies. You've got everybody going on around with you. You have stood against it only to be defeated again and again, to go back to the same place and pick it up again and again. You know what I'm talking about. And all of a sudden, the enemy's standing right in your house. He's standing right in your face, and he's sitting right on your shoulders in your lap this morning, making fun of you, saying, you ain't going to overcome. You ain't going to make the right decision. I got you. I'm going to conquer you. I'm going to step on you. But all of a sudden, all of a sudden, you begin to stand up and you begin to tell that devil, I got a partner, and his name is Jesus Christ. I got a partner that lives inside of me, part of that triune God called the Holy Spirit, and today I will walk in victory, amen? And this was repeated those 6 days, and all of a sudden, they begin to make fun of him. Then on the seventh day, everybody say seventh day. Then on the seventh day, they encompassed the city. They encompassed the city seven times. When they had finished the seventh lap, the priest gave a long blast, as they was told to, on the trumpets, and the people of Israel shouted with a great shout. It wasn't the shout of an attacking army. Listen to me, church. I'm not talking about going out there and attacking somebody. That's not what I'm saying. I want you to hear me. It wasn't a shout of an attacking army. It wasn't a shout of fear. It wasn't fear that was inside of them, but it was a shout raised in praise to their God who had promised them victory. God's promised you all the way, saints, through his word, victory. Victory. Remember, from the city of Adam to the Dead Sea, he's got you covered. Amen? Amen? He had promised them victory. When the people shouted, the walls fell down, and they fell down flat. And Israel ran into the city and utterly destroyed it. Amen? Amen. All right, listen, second point here. The second point, as we begin to talk about Israel prevailed, there are some reasons why Israel experienced victory at Jericho. You hear me? There are some reasons that they experienced victory at Jericho. Worth talking about here. Let me tell you, they had a word from God. Has anybody got a word from God today? They believe God. Does anybody believe God today? They acted in faith. Do we have faith in God today? They did it God's way. Are we willing to do it God's way this morning? God gave them the victory, and God was before them, and nobody could come against them. Amen. All of a sudden, we begin to understand that God is there. There's some reasons they experienced victory. And third, God's church will prevail, and you are the church. You sit inside of a church today that's called my church. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church. Upon this rock I will build my church. It's you. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Now, see, you begin to understand that the enemy's coming. He's trying to prevail, amen. Oh, you say, boy, he's tried a lot. And right when I thought he had me, well, he should have went ahead and took you when he had you overdosed and knocked out, amen. He should have went ahead and checked your baggage when you was homeless. He should have kept you in prison. Should have kept you incarcerated. He should have kept you in an affair. He should have kept you wherever he wanted to. But God said, I brought you low, and I'm going to bring you high, amen. But the devil intended for devastation. I'm about to bring you up out of it. And all of a sudden, we begin to understand that God is working through and in all things. Can you say amen? God's church will prevail. God's people will prevail. You can prevail in whatever situation you are facing right now. Listen, while I've been preaching, God's been showing you, amen? Taking a lesson from Israel, God has promised us victory this morning. In closing, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57, 1 Corinthians 15, 57, but thanks be to God. Thank you, Lord. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? As the praise and worship team makes their way back up, we're opening the altar right now. Come as you see fit. But I want to close with this. Some thoughts and a question to start with. What kind of walled city are you facing right now? What kind of walled city are you facing right now? Did you get past the first wall only to fall in the ditch? And meet the second wall, which is larger? Did you cross the Jordan to find the Jericho wall? What is it that you're going through right now? As you stand over the house, we're going to open the altar. Does it appear that wall is unconquerable this morning? Does the wall look too high? Does it appear too thick? Does it appear too big? Does it seem that victory is absolutely, completely, 100% impossible in your case? If your walls haven't already fallen down as I preach this message to a flat stage, they can, and they can fall right now with the help of your partner, Jesus Christ.